Dhaka are giving Meiser to Torah institutions. The next chapter is the No, it's not this chapter, but it's Torah institutions. Let's see part of it at least. Okay. Like we said, it's preferable to give your Meiser, especially if you're giving it religiously and not just because of a minig, to give it to tzedakah, to poor people. But you can give it also to Torah institutions, especially since many of the people who learn there are poor, and this way you're helping poor people to be able to learn, or the yeshiva also provides them with food or something, and the yeshiva's budget goes to providing for poor people also. But you can give a portion of your Meiser to Torah institutions, okay? And you can even give it if the money is not going directly towards learning. In other words, they need it for furniture, they need it for what's it called, for building.
For coffee.
Also, yeah, even that. The famous Meiser, it has to do with this week's Sedra, that Volozhin was the first real yeshiva where people came from all different places to that yeshiva. Otherwise, they had Bati Midrashas, people learned in their city, and that was it. There were no, you know, central yeshivas. Volozhin was the first one, and the only one. And they also started the idea of sending people out to other communities to raise funds. Since people came from all different communities to Volozhin, they even had quotas on how many bachrim they would take from different communities. So they felt that they could raise money from other communities for Volozhin Yeshiva, since it served the general population, not just one city or whatever. So they sent Meshulach to various places, and he, what's it called, 1 year he said that the horse and carriage that he went in was really dilapidated, and he could use a nicer, stronger horse and a nicer carriage. I'll cover it for Volozhin, that people see, you know, somebody come in a nice carriage. It's more respect for the thing that he's collecting for. So they allocated a expenditure to buy a nice carriage and a stronger horse. And he went to a city that he usually went to and got a very nice donation every year from a certain gvir. And that year, the gvir cut his donation like by a third of what he normally gave. So the Meshulach went to him and he said that very shocked that he's getting such a small donation compared to past years. Are things okay with you? He said, yeah, it's not that I can't afford it, but I've decided that you don't deserve the money that I was giving. Because I thought I was giving money to people learning Torah, but I see now that you buy nice carriages and strong horses, and I'm not interested for my money to be used for carriages and horses. He went back and he told Reb Chaim Volozhiner what happened. So Reb Chaim says, next time you go, tell him the following vort. It says that Bezalel had Ruach HaKodesh, and he people donated to the Mishkan. So they donated gold, silver, copper, and it was used for all different kinds of things. So the gold could have gone into the Aron, or it could have gone into some of the hooks that were made or whatever, and the same thing with the silver and the copper, right? Everything had a lot of different functions. How did they know which gold to use for what? So he said, Bezalel had Ruach HaKodesh, and when somebody donated something, he saw how pure the intentions were of that person. And therefore, he designated gold that was given with the purest intentions to be used for the Aron. Gold that wasn't given with the purest intentions, so there it went to something lesser, and so on. He said the same thing goes with people who donate to yeshiva. People who donate with pure intentions, their money goes to mamish, into learning, buying svarim for people to learn from, or the light that people learn by, or whatever. He said people who give with less intentions, so their money goes to the horses, to the carriages, or whatever. It's also important, but since they didn't give it with a real perfect intention, the Rabban Shem sees to it that that money goes towards the lesser important things. They need to buy bathroom supplies also for the yeshiva. So somebody who gives with really bad intentions, so their money goes for their bathroom supplies, right? Not that anybody knows how to what's it called, to figure it out, but that's how the Rabbanu Shlomo makes it work out. He said, all you have to do is give it with the right intention. I guarantee your money will go not to the carriages and the horses. Right? But the yeshiva needs these things too. They need the gashmistik of things also. But who's zoche to have their money go to directly to the yeshiva causes? That's up to how pure their intentions are. Okay. But you can give to an institution, even if your money's going, they're collecting for furniture, or they're collecting for building, or something like that, or whatever.
Mezavlozha was not the first yeshiva collecting money.
What? I'm not sure, because most of them collected money from the city that they were in. Some Sofer Eretz Beis Medrash, so in Pressburg they collected for that. They didn't send people to other places to do it.
They found a letter that Rosh Gaon sent to
somebody. Oh yeah, okay.
That collecting money, and the reason why they should give to his yeshiva, Dafka, is he gave a reason why, because they learned there have Ion.
I hear. Okay. But officially, that's what they said, that there was a chiddush of Volozhin, that they sent out shadorim to other places.
That was the Rav said before, that most of one's money should go to Neum Dafka. So
in pure Meisr, yeah.
Right. So let's say something like a kollel, where the money predominantly goes to helping people, to pay salaries. So is that considered which category?
Mistama, that's considered Aniyim. People who poshed Aniyim. So you're giving them money not only to buy food, but to be able to continue your learning. So you get both mitzvahs. Yeah, that's mishtamaniyim. He brings on over here, some kollelim have the minig that they pay a salary, and they know that the people have to give meiser, and they make a condition that the meiser goes back to the kollel. He says that you shouldn't do such a thing. Right. In other words, that the people who get the salary have to give their meiser back to the kol. So really, they're only getting 9/10 of their salary, and the kol is keeping 1/10, right? And they just say that you have to designate that. It's not really what's it called a thing to do. It's a nice thing for the people to do on their own, to want to support the place that's paying them, and they're allowed to do that. But for a kolo to make a tznai, first of all, people have other responsibilities of tzedakah. Even poor people. So you're denying them the ability to have nicer money to give to other tzedakahs. Beyond that, if you force a person to do it, it could be he doesn't do a b'leiv shalem and it's mamish geneva. You're taking that money and you have no right to make such a condition.
Well, nicer, what's the alternative? Wouldn't the alternative be to just give them a lower salary?
No, not all.
In consciousness, they're not doing this because they have a lot of money and they're just greedy for more. They're probably doing it because they're short in cash.
Yeah, 100%. But the kollelim are getting, so a lot of times the kollel money doesn't come from the yeshiva. It comes from the government or something. So I'm telling you, what the government gives, I want you to give 10% back to the kollel because you have to give ma'isa. So it's not a proper thing to make it mandatory. That's what the Shemazam Arbach was. Didn't tell it was a good thing, and he was out from Usher Weiss, the same thing.
He also told the yeshiva that even the salaried employees.
The what?
The salaried employees, they have to pay 100% and not 90%.
100%? What do you mean?
In other words, they have to give the yeshiva has to give their salaried employees.
Right.
100% of their salary and not 90%.
Right, right. They can't even, but here they're giving them 100%. They're just telling them that we want you to give that.
No. They weren't even allowed to do that. They weren't even allowed to tell them.
Right here. Okay. Yeah, okay. You're allowed to. You have avos ubanim, and they. One of my prizes to give kids incentive to learn or whatever. You're allowed to use meiser money to buy those prizes. The same thing. Even not only prizes. Sometimes you want to give out, snacks, treats, for and to give kids incentive. It's not for the kollel. But they, what's it called? They would give out prizes and little sweets for the kollel guys. But it's talking about children.
Is there,
you can do that.
Is there like a certain like level where you have to stop? Cut off point?
Age or cold age?
What?
No, I don't mean age wise. Sorry, that wasn't clear. I mean, is there like a cut off of like how much you.
Yeah, what's. I don't know. I mean, again, it depends on the who there are, what kind of, you know, incentive, you know, these kids need, or what older kids also need incentives. Except they're not happy with sweets or prizes. They want something better than that. I don't know exactly what. But
Friday night chalent?
What? Friday night, right. Friday night chalent, Thursday night chalent.
So that would be what, yes.
Okay, you can't buy if an organization is selling things. In other words, they have a thrift shop. Right? I never saw here the thrift shops from yeshivas or whatever, but the thrift shops for tzedakas.
To raise money for...
They don't raise money. They run the shop. People donate things and they sell it and they generate funds for the tzedakah. Right? You can't use miser money to buy things there, because you're basically buying for your own self, right? You may get cheaper there. You're not paying more money. You're getting things cheaper, right? So basically, you're buying it, and Enoch and Ami, the tzedakah is running a business, but you can't. That's not tzedakah. That's a business. So you're buying something that you need. You can't use miser for that. What happens if an organization gives somebody a present? Here we're getting close to our favorite subject. Did that thing happen already?
2 weeks from tonight.
No.
Hurry up.
Okay. What's it called? This is pretty clear that it's okay. You give money to a tzedakah and they give you a present. They have it on the radio all the time. What's it called? If you give money to this, what's it called? The tzedakah, somebody will be at your door within 10 minutes with two nice presents or whatever. I was wanting to do that just to see if it's really true. So the presents are yours, right? That's a incentive.
You don't have to give back to tzedakah the amount that item is worth to you.
No, not at all. That's for sure okay.
You're not
benefiting anything. The tzedakah is giving you a present in recognition of the fact that you gave them a nedava. You're not buying the present.
If you didn't give this nedava, though, you wouldn't have gotten the gift. So, right. Maisa, you're benefiting from the tzedakah money.
No, you're not benefiting. They're it's worth it for them to give you a present that maybe somebody donated.
Understand,
right.
It's worth it to them, but they're only doing it because you gave the tzedakah money.
No, fine, but they're not giving you.
They would not have gotten the benefit.
They're doing it because you gave the tzedakah to them, not because you gave the tzedakah.
Right, but you're still benefiting from the tzedakah money.
No. You're getting.
You gave tzedakah money.
You're not buying the thing. If you'd be buying the present, is one thing. You're not buying the present. Present they're giving you for free in recognition of the fact you gave them tzedakah. So it's two separate things.
They also don't buy the
tzedakah. You know that when you're giving a tzedakah money, you know that if you don't give the tzedakah money to them, you're not getting this gift. If you do give it, you are getting this gift.
They're only getting it
because of the tzedakah money.
If they say everybody gives $1,000 a nation, is going to get this beautiful $18 camera. You can just take your $18 and go buy your own camera. You wouldn't give $1,000
to the camera. You have to pay the $1,000. I'm saying pay the $18 or whatever it's worth to you. You have to pay $18.
They don't pay for the cameras either. Some camera company gave the issue 100 cameras and said use these for incentives to get people to give tzedakah. Right. So it didn't even cost the issue of money to buy the camera.
You're not giving the money to get the present. The present is a separate thing. Right. Even if you wouldn't get the present, you give the money.
But you're still getting hanah from it.
That doesn't make a difference. There's no issue in getting hanah.
There's no issue in getting hanah from your son.
It's an almanas lekabel prav. It's not almanas. I'm not doing it because if in the end they say we ran out of presents, you still give the money. Right. Except it's an extra added perk from giving the money.
What if you wouldn't? What if you would give it to someone
else
instead?
Right. And then it could be that it's not the best thing to do, but still you're allowed to keep the present.
What if you would give it to someone else? Like, you have two organizations.
Right. It's not. The next thing he says: Avo ein loseis mimos maisel yeshiva chedoma l'shem kabbalas pras, or afilu kovid meruba, mikomokan yitin shlo menas lekabel pras. In other words, there's a difference with giving it because you're going to get the present, or you're giving it because you want to give it. And the present's an extra perk, right? That's usually how it is. Right? People don't look around to see which tzedakah is giving the best presents, or giving the best kofet, or the nicest plaque, and that's what they give. They give because they want to give to that thing. If some they get the plaque, nice or they get the present, what?
Some people look for the nice.
Yeah, so that's what he's saying. So if that's your intention, it's not 100. It's not l'shem shamayim.
The free present or camera, whatever you got as a present because you gave a big nedava. If my grandmother gives me $100, and I give myself $100, I get a matana. If my grandmother gives me a frying pan, I don't have to go get an appraiser to appraise the frying pan. Give 10% of the frying pan to myself right now.
Right. So
the frying pan is like the camera from the tzedakah. No different. I have to give myself from money.
Right.
I have to give myself from the new frying pan I got from my grandmother.
Right.
So
okay. You're not. No. The problem over here is maybe you're using the miser to buy the frying pan.
They're not using.
But you're not. You're giving the donation as a donation. Yeah. The frying pan is an extra perk.
What about if you're willing to give $950 of your miser money to a certain organization, and then you're looking in their pamphlet or whatever, and you see, oh, if I give $1,000 instead of $950, then I'll get this $100 gift. So how does that work if you give the extra $50? Meaning now you're giving.
Right.
No, they're not doing it because they know that you're willing to give $950 already. They're doing it because they want to get $1,000 from you.
Right.
The mindset you're already
so
willing.
So here
to give
again, it's okay. It's just not. L'shem Shemayim, it's l'shem Mekava Pras. It's not ideal.
So
but
what,
the same thing.
You're not
giving that extra $50 to get the $100. You're giving $1,000. It's just that your kavana is not all that pure. But you're not buying that $100 thing, right, because you gave an extra $50. Or you're not buying it for the $1,000 either.
No, but let's say the only reason you're willing to spend more than that $950, you're only willing to spend that extra $50 because you figure, oh, I'm getting $100
gift for $50.
Right,
fine. So your kavana is not pure, but it's still, you're not buying from Meiser that price. That's not what's happening. What's happening is you've decided to give a little bit more to this stalker, so you'll get a benefit from it. That's all.
So my, so it's better
you're
to
not
do
buying
that
the thing
to give them $950.
It's better to do it l'shem shamayim, right, and want to give the $1,000 even if you wouldn't get the present. But if that's your intention, then they were successful in getting that $1,000 out of you by offering presents. So they benefited.
That's outside them. What about outside you?
Yeah, outside you, so that was okay.
Give it
right.
Somewhere else.
Is
another $50.
It's better to have pure kavanas and be happy about the present, but not
do
it.
If a person's not holding
that,
what am I saying?
Right, it's okay to do. It's just not pure tzedakah.
I have a better idea.
But it's okay to use
your mind. Giving money, let's say, to have in a building to have a room, a plaque put up on a room. Like,
same thing. What's it called? That is, first of all, if the tzedakah wants you to do that because that's an incentive for other people to give, then you shouldn't be a big tzaddik on their cheshbon.
Okay.
If they don't really care if they put it up or not, it's just if you want it, there's nothing wrong with getting covered for giving money, right? It's not, again, the most pure kind of thing. But usually people want to have their names on it, not the people who give it, but the people who get it, because they want people to see that they'll get covered. That gives incentive for other people to give.
I have a better idea. The rabbi's going to be shem if you can get to the hole and get back to Shabbos.
Okay, 2 seconds. One more thing. We'll start. The next paragraph is, can you pay, you go to a dinner for tzedakah.
No.
Right, tzedakah dinners. Can you use meiser to pay for the dinner? So here it's pretty clear that you can use meiser for everything over what the dinner itself would cost. Now if you go out to eat, right, so you have to pay for a dinner. You're saving yourself if you can eat by this dinner. So you can't pay for your dinner out of Meiser. But the dinner costs a lot more, $100 a plate. They're not giving you $100 worth of food, right? So what you would normally pay for that kind of meal in a restaurant or whatever, right, that you have to take off.
Find out how much it would cost you to do it at home.
Or whatever money you're... Right. Could
what be. If you can't... What if you can't afford to, you know, let's say this costs $50 in a restaurant and you can't afford to.
You wouldn't have got to the
restaurant.
That's what Rafal said. You benefited. I wouldn't go to the restaurant and pay $50, but I have to eat at home. So whatever I say,
you wouldn't get the same thing.
Food. Let's say this is tongue or whatever, and you can't afford to do that.
So I'm only doing it because of its tongue. You benefited, meaning you would have had to eat a regular meal, right? So whatever that cost of the regular meal, you have to deduct from the thing.
So it could be $100, the meat could be worth $100, but you might only have to pay like $5?
Right. But if you would have gone out to eat that amount, and you're enjoying that meal with something that you would have paid for, then you're benefiting from that. You got to take off that amount that you would have paid for that meal regular, right? And what you're paying extra, that goes to tzedakah. Okay.
Give me $1,000.